Everybody recognize this fella? Yeah. This is a pretty accurate example of man's composite description of the devil. He's red. He has horns on his head. He has pointy ears. He has a long pointy tail. And he carries a pitchfork. Now, you know, according to the scriptures, the devil can assume any shape or form that he wants in life. As a matter of fact, he has done so, as scripture has taught. He appeared to Eve in Genesis chapter 3 as a serpent. And Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14 that the devil can actually transform himself as an angel of light. So he can conform himself to different characters as he deals with you and me in this life. But this is generally what we think of, isn't it? When we think about the devil, the long, red, pointy-eared, pointy-tailed bee. Today, we're going to talk about the devil. In fact, I have titled this lesson, Knots in the Devil's Tail. Now, I want you to notice the pun that I put on the word knots and on the word tail. When we think of knots in a tail, we think of K-N-O-T's and the T-A-I-L. Well, today we're going to talk about the N-O-T's and the T-A-L-E. Because ever since the beginning of time, the devil has had N-O-T's in his T-A-L-E. He's going to tell us something not. He's going to tell us something wrong. He's going to indicate to us a different way, and in his own thinking, a better way that'll turn us against God and toward him. All of his tales are not true. And ever since he has become man's tempter, he has done this. And I'm afraid that at judgment, if we can be turned away from heaven's gate because we have listened to the knots in the devil's tail. On the other hand, if we hear those beautiful words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," it will be because we have been able to defeat the knots in the devil's tail. These knots started a long time ago. In fact, it started in the Garden of Eden, and they have been multiplying ever since. Now, we don't have time to talk about all of the devil's knots because they are by the thousands, the millions. But this morning, I want us to look at some of the more popular knots that he has used against you and me and against people in general since the beginning of time. Knot number one, ye shall not surely die. Ye shall, N-O-T, surely die. We have to go back to the beginning of the scriptures to find this knot. And we have to go back to the first man and woman to find this knot. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, God has given Adam and Eve the first and only commandment thus far for mankind in their life. Then the Lord God said, took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now, this isn't a particularly hard command to understand, is it? This is a command telling man, do not do this. Now, the Garden of Eden is filled with all kinds of fruit and all kinds of food for man to eat. So this should not have been a difficult thing, should it? Should it? We know that human nature tells us if we are told, do not do something, what's the first thing we're going to think about? We're going to think about doing that. It's sort of like if I tell you, don't think about zebras. Do not think about a zebra anymore today whatsoever. I guarantee you every one of us in this room is going to think about a zebra sometime before this day comes to an end. Because I've told you not to do that. God has said, I have given you so much. And there is one thing that you cannot do. Mankind, with his natural thinking, he says, well, I've got to do this. And that's about what happened. As we find in Genesis chapter 3, the devil enters and he gives her a T-A-L-E. And this is what it says. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, here it is, you will not, N-O-T, surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, that your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. And that's all he said. And that's all he had to say. Because immediately those wheels started turning in the mind of Eve. This one thing that God said not to do is awful pretty sitting up there on that tree. It looks like it would make a very good food. When the woman saw it, she said it was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. A tree that was desirable to make one wise. And she probably had no idea what wisdom was when she said that. Or thought that. And she took of the fruit and she ate. And she gave to her husband, and he ate. So here is the first N-O-T in the devil's tale. He changed one word in his sentence. He changed one word in God's sentence. He added the little word not. You know, if this story doesn't teach us anything else, it should teach us that God means what He says. Because we can continue to read in Genesis chapter 3, and we find that man and woman are punished for this sin of eating of this forbidden fruit. In fact, we find that all of mankind is punished because of this one sin. We also find that the form of the serpent, which the devil used, is also punished as a result of this sin. But we also find something else. The devil is beaten on that day because he gives us the introduction of Jesus Christ as the one who will bruise the devil's head. It was a tale that the devil used, and it was wrong. The second knot in the devil's tale is this. It is not a sin to enjoy the pleasures of the sinful world. Now, Satan says to you and to me today the very same thing that he has always said. Go on and have a good time. Live life to the fullest. You know, there's a beer commercial that used to say that. Live life to the fullest. Live with full of gusto. Y'all remember that? Wonder how many cans of beer that sold. To our young people, he says, while you're young, man, you need to live it up. You need to sow those wild oats and have a good time and live it up a little before you get too old and you can't. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about wholesome pleasure. All of that is fine. But do not mix up wholesome pleasure with the sinful things that the Hebrew writer tells us that can so easily beset us. That can change us, that can condemn us, that can cost us our soul. Life does not have to be wicked and sinful to be fun. You don't have to give in to worldly pleasures to enjoy life. I do hope you all know that. You know, John warns us about these things in John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the love of if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not of the Father. It is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. You don't have to choose the wicked road. You know, Jesus gives us a choice of the narrow road or the broad way. We don't have to choose that broad way. We can stay on that narrow road. There, believe it or not, is room for you on that narrow road if you'll choose it. You know, I love the Hebrew writer for bringing out this to us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. Moses made this decision that by faith, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, and get this, than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses made the right choice. And you and I today, my friends, can make the right choice, and we can forget the knot that's in the devil's tail. It is wrong to make the wrong choice. We don't make wrong choices and please God. Now, I would never try to tell you that there's no pleasure in sin, because we've all had sin in our lives and we have all enjoyed sin in our lives. So I'm not going to tell you there's not pleasure in sin. But we need to remember what John says here is passing away. They're temporary. It doesn't stay with you. As Christians, we have the God-given responsibility to keep ourselves pure of these passing pleasures of sin. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, "Do not lay hands on anyone hastily. Do not share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure." Beware of this knot in the devil's tail. Knot number three. It is not necessary to be a member of the Lord's church. Now, Satan is going to tell you, God has given you all these different rules and all these different commandments, and He's given you the way that He says you need to live, but I want to tell you, you can go to church, you can go to heaven anyway. You don't have to be in the church to go to heaven. You can go to church outside of heaven, or go to heaven outside of the church. And He'll also tell you that one church is as good as another. But none of them are essential. Well, I want us to read together from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. And let's just see if this knot that the devil gives us is true. Paul writing here, he says, "There is one body, there is one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." One, 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 one. Now, is there anything about one that you do not understand? You know, if you take man's thinking or Satan's thinking on this, you might as well talk about God as being non-essential. You might as well talk about Christ or the Holy Spirit as being non-essential, because Paul mentions all of these in this reading. He talks about one Lord, one God, one Holy Spirit. That's one. So I guess that means that all of this oneness is nothing if the church is not one, and if you can go to any church, be a part of any church, then you can be a part of any God and any spirit and any faith. And that's not true, if Paul's telling the truth here. And I think we all believe Paul's telling the truth here. The same logic that proves one to be non-essential would prove all to be non-essential. But by the same token, the same logic that proves one is essential would prove that all is essential. Besides that, Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 23, Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Church and body being one and the same. In other words, Christ is the Savior of the body, the church. He also tells us, in saying that He is not the Savior of those who are outside of the body or the church. So don't listen to this knot in the devil's tail. You have to be a part of that one institution that Christ is the head of, and that is the church. Fourth knot. You do not need to worry about your soul's salvation now. Satan says, there's no need to hurry. You have plenty of time to prepare for your salvation. He really uses that with the youth people, with the young people. He'll tell them, you know, you look at that world out there and you look at all the fun your friends are having and the good time that they're having with the sin that I have provided for them. You need to go ahead and do that. You need to be a part of that and live it up and have a good time, because believe it or not, the day's going to come when you can't do some of those things. And oh, they just eat that up, don't they? And you know, the only thing about that is that when we grow up and we get out of our young years and we get into our adult years, we will find other things. And we may still even try to do the same old things that we did as teenagers to enjoy that sinful life. And we don't think about our soul. We don't think about the hereafter. We don't think about our salvation. You don't have to do it right now. And that's what he's telling us with this knot. You do not have to think about your salvation right now. We call this word procrastination. Do we have anybody in here that has ever procrastinated? You got to raise my hand to that one. You didn't raise your hand, you're lying. You did it. I promise you, you did it. Everybody has put something off that you could have done and waited. And if all hands were honest and I asked them to go up again, it has come back to bite you, hadn't it? It didn't work out too well for you, did it? We've all been there. We've all procrastinated in one thing or another. You know, there's one thing I do know. Jesus is coming again. He may come tomorrow. I don't know. He may come today. He may come before I get out of this podium. I don't know. But I do know He's coming. And I do know that I can't wait till next week, next month, next year, which I may not have, to get ready for it. We look around, and we're in the beginning of the year 2020. You look around this auditorium, there are people who are not here that was here in 2019, and they have passed on. They are not a part of life anymore. And none of those were expecting to go in 2019. They expected to be here with you today. And they're not. Now you think about that. We don't have a promise, folks. And it's a knot in the devil's tail that you don't have to worry about your salvation, because you do. And if He comes, or we die before He comes, and we're unprepared, we're going to suffer the consequences for it. And you need to think about that. Don't wait until it's too late to get ready for your salvation. You know, these knots in the devil's tail can easily keep you out of heaven. The first knot in the devil's tail that he used against Eve got her and her husband Adam thrown out of the Garden of Eden, the perfect place of paradise that God Himself had created for them. And because of a knot in the devil's tail, they were tossed from it. And my friends, you and I sit here today as children of God. If we are not ready, if we don't remain prepared, if we fall back into one of the knots that He has told us, we can reap the same tossing, if you will, because we will not be allowed into heaven. We need to beware of the knots in the devil's tail, because he's going to tell you anything to turn you away from God. Spiritual death will come to those who are outside the body of Christ, even though he will tell you not to worry about it. The pleasures of this world, the sinful pleasures of this world, can keep you from going to heaven, even though the devil says it's okay. And you don't have to worry about living right, and you can do the things that the world has offered you. And not being a part of the Lord's kingdom, not being a part of His church, can keep you out of heaven, even though the devil says it's not that important. It's not something you need to worry about. The knots in the devil's tail can keep you away from God. And we need to be careful with that. So this morning, my friends, as you look at your life, do you see yourself having given in to some of the knots that the devil has given to you? As a Christian, my friends, we all make mistakes, but we can all get forgiveness of our mistakes. God has promised to forgive if we will repent of them and change. And we give you an opportunity to do that today. Today, if you're not a Christian, you have listened to everything the devil has said. And you have relieved every knot that he has given you. And it's time for you to turn away from him. It's time for you to give your life to the Lord, to obey the gospel as Christ has given it to you, that you can be a part of the family of God, that you can live here on this earth as a child of God and live with God when this life is over. Don't listen to the knots in the devil's tail. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we stand and sing.